Welcome to the Learning Forums podcast, sponsored by Distress and Crisis Ontario. Learning Forums offers programs specifically designed for DCO member organizations. This podcast is meant to inform, educate, and support your work. Enjoy the program, and we welcome your comments and feedback at learningforums.ca/contact with the subject podcast.
Hi, Alma. How are you today?
I am doing well, Nita. Thank you for asking.
I wanted to talk a little bit about how you're managing with your immunodeficiency under the COVID-19 situation.
I'm managing carefully. In terms of specifics, I am HIV positive, diagnosed HIV positive since 1991. So it's a disease I have been living with for a very long time, but never under these kind of unique situations, much like everybody else. We probably have more questions than answers, and very, very few resources to turn to. But as an HIV-infected individual with a severely compromised immune system, COVID-19 has really opened up some questions for me.
That is quite concerning, Alma. I'm sure anxiety levels are pretty high, like it is in the general population. How are you coping?
They can be. I tend to be, after living with a disease since 1991, I do have some coping mechanisms in place. But yes, this is exceptional. So I'm much more intentional. I am not self-isolating, but I am certainly social distancing. I'm in the position with my employer where they're very supportive of me not being present at work when we're open to public, and with everything changing, even my work has changed, that they're no longer open to the public. So that concern has been removed for me. But it's the simple everyday things of life. Groceries. Do I go get groceries or don't I? I have 9 grandchildren. Is it safe for me to interact with my grandchildren, or might they have been exposed to something like that? My medications. I've been in conversation with my pharmacy numerous times because they are having problems getting medications delivered. So I had to order a 3-month supply of my antiretroviral with the hope that they might be able to get 1 month worth in for me. And that's probably my biggest stressor right there. Missing one dose of an antiretroviral has significant consequences for me. And I need to problem solve that to make sure that my supply of my pharmaceutical drugs is not interrupted.
What is it that the community can do to support individuals who are immunocompromised at this time, Alma?
I think they need to stop assuming that they know what the other. The media keeps saying we have to self-isolate for others. I am one of the others. I am relatively young. I'm very healthy. I diet. I CrossFit. Looking at me, you would not be able to look at me and say, oh, look at that person's immunocompromised. By adhering to the guidelines presented by not just the Canadian government, but globally, the social distancing, the self-isolating when you're sick, get rid of the idea that you can tell who you need to protect. A lot of people with compromised immune systems don't present looking that way. We function normally in society. We want to function normally in society, but we need people to stop assuming that just because we look healthy, we can handle exposure to a virus like COVID. That's not the truth. This could be devastating for anybody with a compromised immune system.
Tell me a little bit more about what possibly could happen if you come in contact with this virus.
Well, for myself specifically, HIV has always presented for me as a respiratory issue. I've struggled with pneumonia numerous times, so my lungs are already compromised. So my understanding of COVID-19 is that it places fibroids or almost a texture in the lungs that makes breathing difficult. So with a pre-existing medical condition like mine, with lungs that are already somewhat compromised and an immune system that is not nimble in responding to new infections, my genuine concern is the respiratory issues around COVID-19. If I get COVID-19, my lungs are really going to be hard hit and my body lacks the resources to deal with that. So And at this point, there's not an effective treatment. There's not an effective preventative measure. So it's just really a matter of being very diligent and being very careful.
So we all have a collective responsibility to ensure that we take responsibility for our own behaviors so that we're not spreading this virus, not just because it is necessarily a low level of fatality, but it's a fatality rate for someone who has a compromised immune system. For them, it's almost like 100% fatality rate.
It can be. There's still so many unknowns. There's a fabulous resource that we have here in Canada. It's called CATIE, C-A-T-I-E. It's the Canadian AIDS Treatment Information Exchange. And as a person with HIV, of course, I go to the website for the information. As many knowns as there are unknowns. I am on medication called antiretrovirals. By all the indications, my virus is very well suppressed by my medication. But the other part of my immune system, called the CD4 cell, which is a part of the immunity of the white blood cells, is compromised. So even the CATIE website tells us that they don't really know. Indications would seem that people well managed on HIV should be able to resist this disease, but they don't know enough to actually say. All they do know is that HIV-infected individuals that do have lower than normal CD4 counts have struggled and have died. Systems just could not handle it.
That would make sense. I mean, as much as you're managing fairly well under the circumstances, why would you want to take the risks? So that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's to find the balance, though, between living a life, you know, of balance and calmness and not walking in fear and trusting that the people around me are applying common sense, because that's genuinely what it is. It's common sense. It's thinking about the community rather than the individual. And even though you might think, oh, it's only going to be a bad cold or kind of a flu, that might be the truth for you, but it might not be the truth for the person standing beside you in the grocery store.
Exactly. I really like your approach of balance. You know, no panic, but being cautious enough. Can you tell me that information again about CATIE, slowly, so that our listeners might be able to access it if they need to?
It's a fabulous website, CATIE.ca, and their focus is people with HIV as well as hepatitis infections. So anybody that's, you know, infected with hepatitis, HIV, it's a great resource for them to go to and find out the implications of COVID-19. And they have all sorts of links to, you know, websites around the world, well-researched, well-funded, well-studied, and certainly not alarmist. They're very, very careful with what they present, and it's well-researched before they put it out there. So CIT.
Elma, I think you cut out at C-A-T. Can you repeat that?
Yep. Yes, CATIE.ca, Canadian AIDS Treatment Information Exchange.
Thank you, Elma. So that's C-A-T-I-E, Canadian
AIDS Treatment Information Exchange.
Terrific. Thank you. Is there any other recommendations you have for people with compromised systems?
I'd say be honest. A lot of times we choose to not share the fact that we might be immunocompromised. We don't have to give details. I've always been very open on my HIV status, but it's fair to say to somebody, I have a compromised immune system. You don't have to give specifics. That's all they really need to know. And explain, because you have a compromised immune system, you require that they be very aware. Once people find out that you have a legitimate concern and a legitimate need for them to conduct themselves carefully, I'm finding people to be exceptionally understanding, almost apologetic about the fact that I'm in that situation. People have been lovely. And friends and family, of course, offering to run errands for us, just watching out for us. And I genuinely appreciate that. I haven't taken anyone up on it yet, because right now I still feel I can safely move throughout my community. But I know should that change, I can make one or two phone calls and people will be getting groceries for me. They will be doing what they can to make sure that I'm safe.
At this time of high anxiety, it is so important that we feel like we're part of a caring and sharing type community, isn't it?
Absolutely. It gives a lot of peace of mind, and it just helps you know that you're not alone. I work as a peer support person with people with HIV, and a lot of the people that I provide support to, they're scared, they're isolated, they're alone, they don't know who to call, and they simply need groceries, and they're afraid to step out their door. The AIDS support organizations are overwhelmed because the vast majority of their own volunteers are already HIV infected themselves. So they're looking for support, so they're looking for help. And, you know, it's very simple to call a local AIDS support organization and say, hey, if anybody needs groceries picked up, give me a call, I can do it for them.
That's wonderful information. At a time when we have to social distance, we require a need to be connected. And there's so many ways that we can do that without being in violation of any sort of social distancing criteria.
Yes.
And
yes.
Feeling like we're part of a community, feeling peace, because the anxiety that exists with the unknown and the rapidly changing situation, the only thing we can really count on that doesn't rapidly shift and change is the fact that we care about each other and we're
Absolutely.
Responding to each other. We're using some common sense in how we respond, because it's so easy to panic and be fearful. That doesn't mean that we don't take precautions, the appropriate precautions, and we go to the source of reliable, knowledgeable information.
Absolutely. You know, get your information from sources you trust. Always ask good questions, and don't be afraid to ask for help.
Those are very good recommendations. Any last words for people who are not immunocompromised? What can we do to be a part of this social fabric of support to each other?
Wash your hands. You know, we all have the opportunity right now to really shine, you know, to follow the guidelines. Nobody wants to be locked at home for weeks on end, but quite honestly, you know, it's a small step that we can take for the greater good and to help people. And it seems like such a silly thing to do, but staying home, isolating, being careful literally can save lives.
Thank you, Alma. We really appreciate you sharing your thoughts on this topic with us. So many will benefit from your experience, your knowledge, and your care. We really appreciate what you have done for us all today.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome.
Hi, I'm Damien, one of the editors of the DCO Learning Forums podcast. Over the past year, we've been busy converting our Learning Forums series of videos into podcasts and thinking of new ways to continue delivering new and more in-depth content. We've seen the demand, and we're announcing our move to Pinecast and our new tip jar function. Please consider going to tips.pinecast.com/jar/distressandcrisisontario and donating. And in return, we'll be recording new follow-up episodes on some of our most popular topics. These will be accessible for tippers only and will help pay for travel, web hosting, etc. For the interim, you'll still be able to access existing content on both the Pinecast and Fireside feeds for free, but eventually we'll be making the switch to Pinecast. Thank you for your understanding.